Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Well, we are in all things. The theme right now for our church is this space of discipleship. And I want to talk to you tonight about this one thing. Discipleship, where are you at? Where are you at? See, it's really interesting because discipleship can mean a lot to different people. For some, discipleship is a program. For some, discipleship can actually be like it's meant to be a one-on-one mentoring experience. And for some, discipleship is a thing that you look at and go, oh, I didn't get that. I've never been discipled. Well, you know what? Discipleship is actually the process of becoming like Jesus. It is learning from him and following in his ways in a community, helping others to do the same thing. Well, this is what discipleship is. It's this lifelong journey that you and I enter into to actually be transformed and actually join in God's mission. You remember when Jesus said to the disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men? There's a purpose to our discipleship. Jesus laid it out from the very first moment he met them. Hey, come follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Don't come follow me and hope for the best. No, you know the end product. The end product is that you will be a fisher of men. The Bible also says that he tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. And there's this invitation into discipleship, in becoming like him, that when he says, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. It's actually not an idea. It's a byproduct of discipleship. And so the goal of discipleship in its entirety is to become like Jesus. That is the only thing that we are tasked with in respect to our life on this earth, is to become more like him. Poke the person next to you and say, hey, discipleship, where are you at? Because discipleship isn't a program. It's not a pastor being in your life or the pastor that runs your life group. It's not attendance at church. It's not the education just in Christian ways. Discipleship is not behavior modification, although it leads to behavior modification. It is not serving on a team, although it leads to serving on a team. The thing is about discipleship that it's not just about faith. See, our obstacle in this life is misunderstanding what discipleship is. Thomas preached a great message this morning, and you should get a copy of it, podcast, YouTube it, do what you need to do. Thomas is one of our pastors here, and he's got an absolute gift to teach the Word of God. And he preached a message today that was absolutely profound when it comes to discipleship. In the context of discipleship, starting at the place of altars and leading to the place of tables. It was a fantastic message. I want to encourage you to get a hold of that. But discipleship is a life in pursuit of Jesus. It is a process, which is a way to life. It is a culture, which is a way of life. And it requires cultivation, which is the work of a life. And discipleship is best supported by others, by other disciples, and those in the family of God. See, discipleship is, although personal, is actually corporate. When Jesus called the disciples to follow him, they followed him, but not just on their own, there were 12 of them. And so this life we have to be called to live in a place of discipleship is about this journey of becoming like Christ and moving towards the goal as we become like him, that we're embedded into this family, this community that he has for us. My question to you tonight as a 4 p.m. is, discipleship, where are you at? Because each of us has to ask and answer this question. Because discipleship starts and ends with this concept of becoming like Him, which requires of us a process. John 15, let's turn to it. John 15, verses 1 through to 8. It says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. And as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." Discipleship is discipleship is a journey of every disciple becoming more like Christ. And it starts and ends with this idea of abiding in Him. Verse 5 says that He is the vine. Verse 4 says, "Abide in me." So therefore, when He says He is the vine, He is making this statement at the time to the Jews around Him. Because God said that Israel was the vine. But Jesus stands before them and says, "I am the true vine and you are the branches." And this idea of abiding on in Him is a complete dependence on Him. And it's a constant connection with Him. And this is where our discipleship starts. It starts by abiding in Him. Discipleship requires a personal pursuit for every believer of Him. And a commitment from an everyday disciple like yourself is actually what's required. See, the beautiful thing is that disciples, you can be saved instantly. But hands up, who knows, so discipleship is a slow process. Do you ever meet someone and you catch up with them and they're like, "Yeah, I met Jesus and I just stopped swearing." Do you ever meet that person? Or you meet the person that's like, "Oh, you can't believe what bloop, bloop, happened to me," and I'm bloop, and they're at the altar, and you're like, "Uh-huh." Discipleship is this journey of becoming like Christ. And for some of us, those things fall off quicker than others. But the main thing you need to know tonight is salvation takes place at a moment you become a follower of Jesus. You accept Him into your life. You are made right with Him. It's instantaneous. But discipleship is slow. And sometimes a bit slow for some more than others. Aren't you grateful for a patient God? I'm so grateful He loved me through my ratty teenage years. As much as I loved Him, I didn't reflect Jesus that well to some people. My mouth was like, "You need to know Jesus, you need to know Jesus, you need to know Jesus." Had this kid in my class, a science class. We had Miss Oyster for our teacher. It was terrible. His kid, his name was Tim Retallick. And I didn't like him. And we were in line, lined up against the wall. We're year 8, so I'm all of 14. and he's tubby. And he just bowls past me and totally knocks my books flying out from underneath me. Have you ever been there? In that moment, I'm going to tell you, my discipleship was a little bit slow. Because I did not turn the other cheek. I turned around and went, whop! Punched him fair square in the face, knocked him off his feet. The Lord is patient, unwilling that any should perish. And that kid and I got sent to detention. And I was not happy about that. Miss Oyster took us both out and said, right, both of you off to detention. I was a good kid. Just had a bit of a problem. See, the thing is like sometimes our discipleship takes a while to catch up. I was saved at the age of 5, gave my life to Jesus, loved him, sang songs, went to church. But my formation of who I was becoming as a follower of Jesus took a little while to catch up. Don't look at me like I'm the only one. You didn't punch anyone out, but I'm sure there's some heathen in you somewhere. But this is what you need to know and understand, is our complete dependence on him and abiding in him and our in constant connection with him is where it all starts. See, if your only level of discipleship is our Sunday service, you're in trouble. Because the Bible says you're not abiding, you're attending a really cool service with some really cool worship. But it's religious and not discipleship. The Lord invites us into these places and spaces where he says, hey, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Did you realize the invitation to discipleship is death? Death to self? Bonhoeffer says this, he says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. What an invitation. What an invitation. See, it's not adding Jesus to your life. Discipleship is not adding a teacher or a life group leader to your life. Discipleship is this journey of becoming like him. And friend, it starts with abiding in him. The second thing is this, discipleship actually requires others. Verse 5 says, we are the branches. Look around the room. You're in a room full of other people who are attached to the vine. They are a part of the family of God. In other words, they are your brothers and your sisters from a different mother and a different papa, but they are your family in Christ. The question is, discipleship, where are you at? Because it requires others in our life. It's complete vulnerability and constant proximity. And if it is only Sunday service, check in, check out, I want to suggest that there's not constant proximity and there's not complete vulnerability. Jesus did life with the disciples and he walked on this earth for 3 years and he took them on this journey where he spent time with them and discipled them. And it was close proximity. Mark 3:13 says, he called them unto himself that they might be with him. Not that they might do, not that they might, but be. Fill in the blank. Not that they might, whatever it is that you, it called to be with him. And in the context of that dynamic, everything changes. On Ephesians chapter 2 says to us that we are adopted in, we have access, and we now become the household of God. We are the family of God. And the Bible also says that people will know that Jesus is real by the way we love one another. But if you don't have proximity, and you don't have consistent vulnerability in relationship, see, discipleship thirdly requires growth. Verse 1 and 2 says that we are pruned by the master. I am the true vine and my father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch in that produces fruit in, he prunes. Do you ever think sometimes it seems to be unfair? Like you get those cutting seasons in your life? It's actually so that you can produce more fruit. We had a lemon tree in our backyard, and it was an awesome lemon tree. I think every kid in town must have peed on it at some stage because apparently that fixes lemon trees. But this tree had so much fruit on it that we went out one day and the whole branch of the thing had just broken off and had just torn away from the tree. There was so much fruit on the tree that the branch couldn't hold it. And so we got a guy out there to take some of the fruit off the tree and actually bring the branch back up and tape it back up and hope that it would graft back in. And he said, you have to, with the lemon tree, you have to take off some of the branches that have got fruit pertaining or coming. You have to take off some of the fruit and the weight so it doesn't break the branch. See, more often than not, the Lord will use you to cut me. It will use me to cut you in order that you can become strengthened in him. So when the Lord takes you through a cutting season, it's not about offending you, hurting you, but it's actually about what is produced in you through the process. And the reality is, it's pruned by the master, not anybody else, but funnily enough, God uses people in our lives to prune us. Hang out with people long enough, you'll find them. But the branches are pruned by the master and they're cutting off the dead things, but they're strengthening so that they can actually produce more fruit to come. You need to be with people who are going to challenge you. If you are only surrounded by people who will just tell you how great you are, hey, you can't do anything wrong, you're actually probably hanging out with something that's not helpful for your own growth and development. And if all you do is come in on Sunday and just check out, that's it. And there's no abiding and there's no engagement with other people and there's no growth happening inside of you. The question is, discipleship, where are you at? See, most people are happy in discipleship to think about growth in this context. Just ask me how I'm hearing from the Lord and I'm okay. Ooh. Just ask me about my gifts and I can tell you what gifts I've got. Just ask me about what things are evident in my life. And, you know, I did that gift survey and it says that I've got this and that. And we're easy to have conversations like that. But when we go to the depths of what discipleship actually pertains to in being our whole life, it's not just about the things of faith. It's not just about our spiritual beliefs. It's not just about our formation, about our spiritual practices, but it's actually about the spiritual principles for freedom. We heard it tonight. This component of freedom that the Lord has given to us is a part of our discipleship. But you know how freedom is pertained? Through conversation and discipleship around topics like lordship, suffering, endurance, humility, pride, servanthood, purity, forgiveness, offense, conflict, repentance, deliverance. The reality is, when you want to know something, you know when you're having tough conversations, they actually reveal about how you're being discipled. Because as soon as someone mentions money, finance, how you spend your money, what you do with your money. Oh, no, no, no. Don't talk to me about money. No. Oh, they always talk about the tithe. They always talk about giving in that church. Do you know Jesus talked on money more than any other topic in the Bible? See, you know what happens is it reveals the level of our discipleship. It actually reveals how far we're willing to go in our discipleship when we get real in conversations that pertain to everyday life. What about friends, who you hang out with is who you become? When was the last time someone who was discipling you had a conversation and said, hey, do you think that this is good for you, this friendship? Do you think that this is right moving forward for you? One of the things that my dad did, he got radically saved out of a lifestyle of drinking, swearing, smoking, cursing, sailor, loving Jesus at the Catholic Church, doing an altar boy thing, but then living his own life. And he literally went through a massive change, gave up the alcohol, gave up the drinking, gave up the swearing, gave up everything. And it was like that. It just like happened in a moment. But you know, I know people who've gone on that journey and it's been a long period of time and a longer period of time that it required. But do you know, my dad actually had to make some decisions around his friendships. If I hang out in this environment, I know that I'm going to do X, Y, Z. I'm no longer going to do that. But it happened as a result of conversation with people who were in his life. Asking the hard questions. What about family and identity and origins of stuff that comes up out of our family? When we start to talk about some of these things, we're like, oh, I don't know. I just like the idea of coming to church, talk about spiritual gifts so I can lay hands on people and pray for people and see them fall over. But if we start to get real, people start to get uncomfortable. My question to us tonight is, discipleship, where are we at? Where are we at? Because it reveals way more than we think it does. It reveals the heart of where we're really at. Oh, discipleship requires fruit. I told you I had a lemon tree that produced so much fruit. It was crazy. It was wild. It was awesome. But have you ever had a fruit tree that didn't produce fruit? I had a tree that we stuck in and were hoping for what we had from the lemon tree to happen. And I was getting so excited because I like to add lemons in my cooking, my drinks and different things that we, you know, those, you know, vinegar, lemon drinks you do, those, you know, anyway. Clearly I'm on my own. But anyway, I was planting this lemon tree. And my lemon tree didn't survive. And I was like, where's the fruit? We had one that had great fruit and this one has no fruit. See, a tree is only good if it's producing what it's called to produce. Otherwise, it becomes useless. And the Bible says it's burned and thrown into where the dead branches are. But every good vine produces fruit. And in actual fact, the scripture says in verse 8, much fruit. How do we produce fruit? I can tell you that's not this. Jesus, please come and make me more patient. Jesus, come and just give me a clear mind. The only way that we produce fruit is by abiding in Him. Abiding in Him in the everyday, in the reading of the Word, the praying, the seeking Him, that we find Him and His Word becomes our mind and it becomes the way we think, becomes the way we act, it becomes a part of who we are. And if it only ever pertains to the Sunday Word, we've got a problem. And it becomes evident because there is no fruit. See, to actually produce fruit means complete surrender and yieldedness to Him. Because fruit bearing is actually inevitable when abiding. Quantity, quality, it's up to Him. But there's fruit. It produces character, produces fruits of the Spirit, produces all of these things. And verse 8 says this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. If you're not producing fruit, it might be that you're not abiding in the vine. And if you're not changing and becoming more like Him, it may be that you've subscribed to a club or a religious organization because there needs to be fruit. What does fruit look like? It looks like character. It looks like attitude, Christ-like attitude. It looks like Christ-heartedness. It looks like Jesus' servant-hearted nature. It looks like Jesus in action. It looks like love and mercy. It looks like Jesus. Well, discipleship requires a reproduction. Discipleship in verse 16 of this passage, which we did not read, but I will read to you later on, says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit. And that your fruit shall remain. How does fruit remain? It comes from complete obedience and constant reproduction. See, seeds are for reproduction. And true discipleship actually reproduces in others, and it actually leads to multiplication. And it pertains to way more than our Sunday worship, our service, our giving, our prayer and our Bible reading, even if it is on Monday through Saturday. It actually requires more of us. Because if you remember rightly, the disciples gathered together and were in the upper room, and they left the upper room. They didn't stay with what felt good, what was fantastic in the moment, but they actually took it to a people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They gave as each had need. They became the hands and feet of Jesus. And they laid hands on the sick and they preached the good news. And all these things pertain to a life following Jesus. But it starts with a life in Christ, in abiding. It is both personal and corporate, because of the pursuit to come like him is holistic. It's uncomfortable, but the commitment to Christ and his community is corporate and it is confronting. Hang out with people long enough and you'll work out why. But it results in a life that reflects Jesus, and a life that is established through time with him and with others. And it leads to a life of dedication in sharing Christ with a world that so desperately needed it. But the thing is, discipleship exposes whether or not we are and have truly become like Christ as a follower, or whether we've become a church attender. So my question to us today is, discipleship, where are you at? And you might think that this is a bit of an odd way to have a message shared with you around this context of discipleship. Maybe you're looking for something more, but I actually really want to suggest to us today that each of us is to reflect and work out where we are in our discipleship journey. And it starts with questions like this. Do you abide in him beyond Sunday? Do you abide in him on your Monday through the Saturday? Because if not, I want to suggest that maybe that's the place of you starting your discipleship process. The second question is do you have other believers in your life that you are committed to growing together? Because if this is just your service that you come to, but there is no community that you're a part of, I would suggest that you're at the start of a discipleship journey that the Lord wants to take you on into greater depths to becoming who he's called you to be. The third thing is this. Do you have believers who will ask you the hard questions beyond faith, beyond the standard status quo things? Do you serve? Do you hear from God? Do you pray? Because all of these things are a part of our discipleship, but it has to go beyond that. It has to go to the hard questions. And I'm going to be really real with you. Some of the hard questions might look like, should you be dating that guy? Not in a controlling conversation way, but in a, hey, do you know what the Bible actually says about being unequally yoked? Have you ever considered that dating that guy is really not a good idea? Oh, but I'm waiting for him to get saved. I know he's going to get saved. Friend, can I just tell you right now? I've got friends who are still married to the person they thought was going to get saved, and 35 years later, they're still praying the same prayer. See, we've got to get real about some of the discipleship conversations that we're having. All the questions might be around the nature of finance. You get offended every time it's talked about, or you feel uncomfortable. Welcome to discipleship. Have you abided in the Word and read from the Word and discovered and leaned into what the Word of God says, so that you can understand why you feel uncomfortable and how to partner with what he's actually calling you to do? See, if we don't ask some of the questions, or have people in our lives that will ask us questions beyond, hey, what's the gift that you have? Or hey, do you hear from God and do you pray? If we don't get beyond that, discipleship is not holistic like it's meant to be. Do you remember the moment that Jesus had to like pull Peter up on one more than one occasion? But like, you remember the moment? And he's like, Satan, get behind me. Man, he could have been totally offended. And then, but what about the other disciples? What are they going to think of me? He said, Satan, get behind me. Now they're going to think that now that I'm filled with Satan, and what does that mean? Let's be honest. That's half of some of us. Someone walked up to you and said, Satan, get behind me. What? Would you be like, oh, me? Because if we don't have people in our lives that are going to ask us the real questions like Jesus asked the real questions, the disciples are freaking out about the supply of food because Jesus said, tell them all to sit down and feed them. And they're like, what are we going to feed them with? And Jesus is like, get them to sit down. Here we go. Prays, breaks it, gives it to them and says, go be a part of the miracle. See, sometimes the disciples were really uncomfortable. They're like, Jesus, send them home. We don't have enough. Jesus, bring me what you have. See, discipleship conversations can be really, really uncomfortable, but it's actually what produces in us the growth that we need. Have you got people in your life that are asking you questions that you don't want to be asked? Because if you haven't, I want to suggest that you're a part of a body, you're part of a church that actually is committed to the full process of discipleship. We're committed to reaching and raising the next generation in knowing who they are and whose they are and how to outwalk that and be released to be sons and daughters who know who they are and walk with the full sense of their identity in Christ being formed. The fourth question is this: do you see more of Jesus in you than when you were first saved? Oh man, seriously, when that teacher told me off and I had to go to detention and then I had to work out that I was actually probably wrong in what I did and then I had to go through a process of saying sorry and then I had to go, oh, and I had to go to detention after school and all the different things. But there was this process that the Lord was doing in me to actually go, there's something here that needs to be addressed in your life. Are you willing to deal with it? I'm raising it so that you'll deal with it. Sometimes the Lord's going to come to you through people, might be through situations and circumstances, and he's going to cause something to arise in you. And most of the time you're going to go, But if you sit long enough and abide long enough, your heart becomes like his and you start to go, God, I'm so sorry I screwed that up. I'm so sorry I did something so stupid like punch someone in the face and ruin your reputation because I call myself a Christian. God, I'm sorry that my actions don't measure up. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to become like Jesus. Now, I'm using a pretty extreme example, but in your life, where does it sit? Are you more like Jesus today than you were when you met him? Fifthly, is there any evidence of multiplication in your life? Do you share Jesus with others? And or are you discipling somebody? It's really important that we have these kind of conversations. I could have gotten up here, shared a really nice fluffy word, made you all feel good, and come back to the next 4 p.m. But that's not how growth happens. We first have to get really, really uncomfortable. But the beauty of it is when you abide in him, that tree, that fruit cannot help but be. But for you and me, the invitation is, where are we at with discipleship? Where does it put a pain pressure on you today that you're like, oh, I need to. I actually know I need to make a decision. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet for just a minute. Well, the greatest invitation from the Lord to the disciples was come. And most of us in this room have experienced that moment where he said, come follow me. And we've responded, We've given our lives to Jesus. And if you're here today and it's your first time in church and maybe you've never heard anything like this and you're like, what the heck did I just walk into, friend? You need to know, number one, Jesus loves you. He came, he lived, he died, he rose again because he loved you. In order to reconnect you back to the Father, to deal with sin, which is stuff that gets in the way of us being in relationship with the Holy God. He dealt with it, and when he rose from the dead, literally, he gave you the right to become a child of God, adopted into the family, and an invitation to become like him. It's a beautiful thing, and if you would love to respond to that, I would love the opportunity to pray for you. And just so I know who I'm praying for, I'm simply going to ask that if that is you today and you're like, yeah, I know I need to say yes to Jesus, you can know that you are forgiven, that you are set free, that you are a child of God, that you are made right, sins past, present, and future dealt with because of Jesus. And you can respond to that by raising your hand. And by raising your hand, you're just saying, yep, I want you to pray with me. And our whole church is going to join you in praying. If there's anyone across the room, just give me a bit of a wave and say, yeah, that's me. Awesome. So I'm in a room full of disciples. We're at the fresh point. We're at the start point. That's amazing. Come on. Right now, the next question is, where are you at? As a follower of Jesus, do you find yourself in the place of abiding with him? Do you find yourself connected to others? Do you find yourself becoming more like him? And do you find yourself producing fruit? And do you find yourself reproducing? Today, the Lord's invitation to you is it's time to take your next step. The next step is the invitation to life-on-life discipleship with him, with others, in the community, and to become like him. So I don't know about you, but I feel like there are times where I need the Lord to do a great work in me. Because sometimes when I'm rolling through that supermarket and that person cuts me off, the fruit of the patience is not showing up in my life. Or in other areas where it's like, hey, do you think that's actually wise to do X, Y, Z? Tonight's the night to make a commitment to vulnerability. Tonight's the night to make a commitment to stepping into the fullness of him. And all I'm going to do is simply this. And I ask you to posture yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, this is where I'm at, and begin a conversation with him. And as I pray, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would come upon you, that he would partner with you into this next part of the journey, and he would lead you into becoming more like Christ. So God, right now, we, your people, stand before you. Lord, completely imperfect in every way, form, or shape, but totally dependent on you. God, we recognize in our own lives and our own journeys that we're all at different spaces and phases. But we recognize tonight that the invitation is to go a little deeper with you. And Lord, as a part of our discipleship, I'm asking Holy Spirit that my voice would not be heard, but yours would be. And that God, as you are heard, that Lord, you would take people on a journey of becoming like you and finding themselves as a part of a community where they can grow, where they can multiply and reproduce and produce fruit. I'm asking Holy Spirit that the whispers of heaven would have been heard tonight, and as people respond, you would lead them into places of fruitfulness. And that God, together, that we as the body of Christ would do what you've called us to do in reaching a world that needs to know you. So I thank you, Lord, that discipleship always leads to people coming to know you. So lead us on this journey, I ask and pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.